Paul Steinhauser reports nationally for Fox News and for us as well. Good morning, Hampshire, the Pulse of an H. Steiny out there. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jack. You mentioned the president day two of 3 days in Pennsylvania, which, of course, we know a crucial battleground state. The polls show it really tight there. But, you know, they're trying to paint the contrast, right? President Biden on the campaign trail, former President Trump stuck in court. But Trump is trying to flip the script a little bit. Today, of course, is an off day, right? Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Those are the court days. Today, he's got a day to campaign and also fundraise. But yesterday, after court was over, Trump went up to a Harlem bodega, which grabbed a lot of fame a couple of years ago with a crime attack there. And he went after Biden over crime, and he went after the Manhattan prosecutor who's going after him in this case. So Trump not letting the trial, you know, keep him from the campaign trail. That is pretty crystal clear. And I think that's the script, Jack, we're going to see going forward.
Paul, and the jurors that were interviewed, somehow the network got some of the responses to see if they could be impartial. I like the one gentleman, I think he became, American, I assume, from another country, which is not a problem at all. I'm pointing out he was a juror, and he made an interesting comment. He said, oh, Donald Trump, fascinating fellow. He walks into a room, lights it up, and you either like him or you don't. I thought that juror summed it, summed it up pretty good.
I think that you're absolutely right. I think that juror is from Ireland. That's where he was born. And now I think that juror is going to be the jury foreman going forward. Seven jurors have already been picked. And again, we're just 2 days into this thing. So buckle up. It's going to be a while.
Thank you, Steiny. Paul Steinhauser. John Decker, our own White House correspondent. Sorry, John, we got a little transition there. But Pennsylvania, this presidential race, very much underway. How ironic is it, John? I'm hearing about jury selection. Donald Trump leaves a courtroom for his hush money case, goes into a section of Harlem to politic. Joe Biden's out there. Can you believe you couldn't have written this stuff? You could not have written this stuff for like the next House of Cards series.
Well, you're right about that. Joe Biden this week is in Pennsylvania, three different days, three different cities. Yesterday it was Scranton. Today it's Pittsburgh. Tomorrow I'll be with President Biden, traveling with him to Philadelphia. And this is an important state. It's the reason why Donald Trump, before this trial began in New York, spent the weekend doing a campaign rally in Pennsylvania. It's a state that Donald Trump won in 2016, beat Hillary Clinton. He lost it to Joe Biden in 2020, right. And it's going to factor in a lot in terms of who wins the White House in 2024.
And John, real quickly, I think you'd agree with me. I think abortion rights, certainly Democrats, the president, are going to try and make that a key issue. But when you look at immigration, you look at the southern border, you look at inflation, you look at interest rates today, 7.5% for a 30-year fixed mortgage. President Biden has tried to talk about inflation's coming down, Bidenomics is working. Obviously, he recognizes middle-income folks are feeling the pinch, goes to Pennsylvania, but this is going to be a tough one, because if the economy becomes more of an issue for the incumbent, I think it adds to the list here to make it more of a competitive race with Donald Trump. But that's just my take.
Well, it does. You know, that's always the top issue for voters, jobs and the economy. And if the economy isn't humbling along, it's always problematic for the incumbent. Whether you're talking about the issue of high inflation, it's come down from where the height of it was, 9.1% to 3.5% today. But prices are still high. Gas is still high. It still costs quite a bit when you go to the supermarket. That's something, it's a headwind. It's a headwind for Joe Biden as he campaigns for reelection.
All right, John Decker, thank you so much. Our own White House correspondent. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Bob, I want you to run with that. But if you want to come back to the employment, I always love to share the message.
Well, thank you very much for bringing that up. We are in a position, as are most people, that we would add 30 to 40 employees if we could get them. And we're also working with colleges that are finding that their graduates are having a hard time finding positions. So we're trying to, you know, put the positions and the graduates together. But when you get into construction, as you know, the last segment we did was on the modular home divisions that we have. And last Saturday, they had their open house, hugely successful. 79 people showed up for the open house. All six New England states and Delaware were represented at the open house.
Wow. Where was this, Bob? Where was the open house?
That was in Claremont, Twistback Road in Claremont, New Hampshire.
At your modular, at your modular home to building development, your growing area.
Exactly. That's where the manufacturing is done for both New England homes and preferred building systems.
Wow, that's amazing.
But it's interesting. The questions that come out of that are: do we do pieces parts? In other words, pre-build portions instead of an entire box.
Mm-hmm.
Most every builder uses roof trusses whenever they can. And there's three reasons, really. One is it takes labor out of the job site, and you're paying less for the labor. And secondly is it takes all of the engineering responsibility and puts it on the truss manufacturer, which in this case is us, because we do make our own trusses and have since the mid-60s. Mm. And it also, and this is a huge concept moving forward, no waste.
Mm.
You know, you're not burning hunks of wood.
Right, right.
We're taking it to the dump.
Right. Interesting.
So we also, in our shops, and this is what differentiates us from a lot of our competition, is our shops are set up to pre-build floor trusses and roof trusses. We're set up, we have a special saw that can cut your floor system and label each piece so that you just put it together. If you're old like myself, then it's just like an erector set. If you're not, then you'll have to see it done.
Well, and the other thing real quick is, you know, we've had we're having a really nice stretch of weather right now. And, of course, we've come off the last, you know, Monday and Tuesday are beautiful here locally. But sometimes you and I know, Bob, you know, April, May could get wet again, rainy. And some of these building projects that are exposed, like on a home building site, if they're working on the second floor, and they can try tarp. But you and I know that an open building project gets exposed to the elements. And you can get water. You can get, you know, issues with the plywood, the wood, the framing, the materials. So that controlled portion section of building in a modular facility is airtight, correct?
Absolutely. We build the modular, and where we build all the pieces parts is an environmentally controlled building where the heat is normal, you know, and the roof is covering it from anything. Remember last June, and just look back, last June it rained, I think, like 23 days out of the month. And any builder will tell you you're increasing your cost when they've got to shovel snow or they've got to get rain, they got to work with the water, and you're right, you're going to affect the materials. Now, the material manufacturers have addressed this the best they can, but just take a wall, for example. We pre-build walls in sections up to 28 feet long,
mm-hmm.
and you tell us what you want. Do you want siding on it? Do you want the windows in? We can do all of that for you. And that's becoming more and more popular simply because it allows the builder to satisfy more customers.
Mm. Interesting. Well, I love that story of just that part of your company. But then again, you have your everyday mission, and we're at a time of year, Bob. I think you'd agree that tons of spring projects coming off the winter. I don't think we had that harsh of a winter. We had a lot of wind. We had a lot of wet. And the wind in particular, and, you know, whether you're looking at your roof, your windows, this is a busy time of year, right?
It is definitely a busy time of year because we're getting the seasonal repairs to both your living structure and also a summer home, if you have one. And those things need to be opened up and gotten ready, and there's always something to do there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the old type of building, stick building. And if you're going to repair to make to an entryway or something, you're just going to get a bunch of 2x4s, 2x6s, and you're going to put them together at the job site. That is not going to change. And with the exception of the workload is going to be greatly increased this time of year. And then, of course, because most of us are procrastinators, it'll be real big in October, November, when people are realizing they're going to get closed up. But it's just the opportunity, and we call it fast framing. if you're a builder or a homeowner going to embark on a project, ask us about fast framing. What parts of the job can we do for you in a controlled environment with increased efficiency to help you save time, and time is money?
Well, I want to help you spread that word. So let me just understand this. So if you're working on a project on your home, and you might even have, you know, an installer, contractor, someone you're working with, but you can go to any of the Valley locations, correct, and talk to the folks there in the building area, because your facility may be out in Claremont, your modular home, but if they're looking for fast building for a section of their home, their contractor or the owner can go, what, talk to one of your folks at one of your locations to get some consultation or consultative help?
Yes, most of the fast framing stuff is done in our Newport facility.
Our Newport,
And the modular facility is in Claremont, and in the past couple of years when it's gotten real busy, the modular has been building some trusses, some walls, and things just to augment the Newport facility. But again, that manufacturing piece added to each job lowers the cost and lowers the time on the job.
Right.
It's a great option if you need it.
But again, the homeowner could go to one of your locations, because Newport, Claremont, kind of in the same part of the state, to get, you know, a connection there, or should they go online first?
No, go right to your local location. Everybody's online. You go look and see if you can find out what you need to know, but chances are you're going to need to look somebody in the face and ask the question you need answered.
All right, Bob. Great stuff, Bob Jackman. We'll catch you again real soon, and thank you for the employment update.
All righty. And thanks for your help getting the word out on the modular tour and open house.
Thank you, Bob.
Good morning, New Hampshire, powered by Sig Sauer. Now, back to Jack Heath on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
Always love to get an update from our friends at the Manchester VA, the medical center there, their facilities, their programs. And I've really noticed the program growth recently. And joining us here on the Pulse of an Edge, Good Morning, New Hampshire, Acting Medical Center Director Julie Voss, and, of course, the Whole Wealth Program Manager, Laura Shannon. But what is Whole Health? What is Whole Health? It's a program. April is VA Whole Health Month. Whole meaning like a whole whole pineapple, if you will, the whole health VA's approach. And Julie, thanks for being with us. And Laura, and I'll start with you, Julie, as director. What, maybe you can tee this up a little bit, and what is it?
Hi, Jack. Thanks for having us back. Yeah, whole health is wellness, and it's really individual for anybody and what really matters to them, and you know, being proactive and making decisions and participating in activities that make us feel well in general. So we try to have an array of services so that there's something for everyone for that reason. And sometimes that can be delivered within the walls of our VA or in our new wellness center that we opened earlier this month. And other times that's done just in the community where the veteran lives. So we really try to meet the veteran where they're at and encourage them to explore wellness that's meaningful to them.
And Julie, before I bring in Laura, there's something in the description here from your team that I think needs to spread. So good for you in terms of this concept, because I've talked in my show and some commentary in the past that when you talk about wellness, typically the team doesn't know you. Like I remember years ago, you'd go to your physician, your primary care doctor, and they knew about you and your family. They knew who you were. You get alone in the room, they'd ask you how you're doing, how you're feeling, what's going on. They knew the history. So this idea of your health team getting to know the veteran, getting to know the patient, I think it's what's lacking today. And a lot of young people don't even know who their primary care doctor is. They just go to an urgent care when they get a sore throat.
You're right, Jack. So we have lots of focus on wellness programming, whether it be yoga or mindfulness. But the other side of that is having the clinical health team that wraps around the patient get to know what matters to the patient. Because when you learn about your patient and what drives them, you're obviously going to be more successful in being able to be their partner in their own healthcare plan.
Laura, talk a little bit about how this is implemented, how people can learn about it, and how it's going for you in terms of whether it's in the veterans community or at the VA Medical Center.
Absolutely, Jack. Yeah, whole health really centers around what matters most to the individual and not what is the matter with the individual. So it's really VA's approach to healthcare that supports not only veterans but also employees. And whole health really is, you know, when the person is placed at the center of their healthcare and all of the factors that make them a unique individual are incorporated into their personal health plan. April may be whole health month, however, supporting veterans, their whole health, their caregivers, their survivors. It's one of VA's top six healthcare priorities, and it's simply, you know, how we provide care to the veterans that we serve. Here at the Manchester VA, whole health is everywhere. It's in primary care, mental health, whole health coaching, and well-being programs. And as Julie mentioned, whole health and wellness coaches will work with veterans to identify what matters most to them. We call this their mission, aspiration, and purpose, or their MAP. And finding a veteran's MAP, or their why, can help them reach success with their personal health and wellness goals. Our well-being programs, again, being facilitated virtually or at our wellness center, at our main VA campus, or even in the community, can help support veterans in one or more areas of self-care. And just a few examples of these well-being programs include yoga, tai chi, mindfulness, functional fitness, photography, writing, creative and expressive art. There's so much to offer, and it all starts with what matters most to each individual veteran.
Yeah, it's interesting because, again, May 15th is my 12 hours count for Veterans Count, a group that I know Kevin and you, Julie, have worked with in the past through Easter Seals. But in talking with them yesterday, I mentioned the VA because, you know, the challenge for us and you and the whole health program and all the stuff you're doing now, which I think is more out of the box and you're doing so much more, is getting the word out to the veterans beyond the current VA patients, if you will, or clients. In other words, a veteran who hasn't tried the VA in a couple years, a veteran who's apprehensive to get the help they earned, to go after a lot of the... I even talked to someone yesterday about the... Julie, help me out here. If you were exposed to toxic materials over your service, the PAC program, I talked to a veteran the other day, and he didn't even know about that. So the challenge is we need to let veterans know. And I'm not trying to say it's a new marketing line, but if you haven't tried the VA lately, you haven't tried the VA.
It's a great message to share here, Jack, and we really want to empower any community member in our New Hampshire, state of New Hampshire and beyond. If you know a veteran and they haven't been engaged with the VA or enrolled, there's just so many other great opportunities that have come about for enrollment and eligibility since the PACT Act expansion has occurred. And those opportunities became even more broad earlier in the month when they basically fast-tracked some more of the opportunities. So those who are exposed to toxins, whether they were in combat, and many times even if they were not in combat and their tours were in the United States, if there were toxic exposure, if there's toxic exposure involved, we want to see them and evaluate them. It's really important to get a baseline, even if they're healthy now, right? If you may have no health concerns, but in 20 years, if something's coming up, it's really important for the healthcare team to realize that maybe you had that exposure back 20 years ago. So
good stuff.
For sure, it's everyone's business. And if you know a veteran, please send them our way if they have engaged.
Julie, Laura, thank you so much. The whole health or wellness, thank you very much for the program update in April and beyond. Thank you. Aaron Rial, NBC News Radio national correspondent, talking about Trump media value, and now is the former president, presumptive Republican nominee, going to launch a TV streaming platform. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. Yes, he is. That is what we found out yesterday. There was an announcement made by Devin Nunes, that's the CEO of his TV network. Truth Social is going to have streaming apps. It's going to be for the phones, the tablets, eventually for home television like Netflix. They intend for it to include a TV news network, religious channels, family-friendly content. They're going to have films. They're going to have docs. Basically, content that has been canceled or suppressed on other platforms, they say, is welcome on Trump media.
You know, it really, it's remarkable. I'm not even sure, Aaron, and I'm a fan of debates, given Joe Biden and Trump, if we're even going to see two or three sanctioned presidential debates in this election? I'm not even sure we're going to see them.
I mean, I always compare this to, if you look at Mexico, their current president, AMLO, he did this thing when he was running where he's like, I'm not debating. I'm ahead. I have nothing to gain by debating, mm-hmm. not doing it. And everyone was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
This is, you can't do that. And now that's what we do here. And you're like, this is goofy. This is not what a sophisticated society should be doing when it comes to how we do debates. And I just think that this is not a good thing. The whole point is that we can see civil debate, not poking fun, not throwing lobs, not saying terrible things. And yes, politics is ugly. And yes, you have to bring up the ugly, but not at the expense of value. And we have that right now.
And you know, the problem is democracy. I mean, I'd pick you to be a moderator on a debate versus some people, because you would ask both candidates fair and good questions. Let them debate like it's supposed to be in the old days. But today,
that's the whole point. And the idea that, you know, good speech is supposed to beat out worse speech, we're not supposed to censor. We're supposed to, at least in America, you know, it's our First Amendment. We put it very, very first. The idea that, like, you should freedom of speech, and then allow those who you elect to lead your government to speak to each other.
Yep. You know, it's interesting because even in New Hampshire, where things are pretty civil compared to the national, even in one of the more recent U.S. Senate races, the Democrat incumbent refused to debate, for the most part, more than like a control debate on what, you know, do a number of debates with a Republican nominee. And it's just interesting because it's sort of spreading. I mean, you have the national media, not you, but a lot of the national media kind of all in on something. And then you got Trump who goes around it. And this might be the new norm, unfortunately, between now and November. But thank you, Aaron.
Thanks, Jack. Have a good day.
Republicans, the House Speaker Johnson, will he be ousted? Rory O'Neill, NBC News Radio national correspondent, with the very latest, because it is a fluid situation as of today.
It sure is, Jack. You know, we thought we'd get all these independent spending bills about foreign aid for Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan and sort of that other catch-all bill. We thought we'd get that yesterday. Still don't have it today. That means that Congress may have to be working into this weekend. And the members were all expecting to be on airplanes on Friday night going back home to their districts, but they may have to work longer in order to get this passed. Now, the challenge to the speaker himself, that's complicated as well. A lot of Republicans, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, are not satisfied with the speaker's positions on issues like funding for Ukraine and on the FISA warrant issue as well. And they've called for his resignation. But even some Democrats say they're willing to cross the line and support Johnson through this, because who knows what the alternative may be.
Yeah, it really, talk about a dysfunctional mess in Washington. All right, Rory O'Neill, thank you.
Thanks, Jack.